There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And a couple, what did I say earlier? Like, people in our business go, well, programming note. In other words, let me tell you stuff that's going to happen in the future here. Way future of the Nostradamus. Hey, tonight at 6, I mean, if you needed more clues that football season is back, got high school games tonight, tomorrow, just listen to the Feinbaum Show, how fever pitched it is right now. Our college pick'em challenge is back, which I'm going to try to get Kyle in a second here. I'll explain. College Pick'em's back online. All the click-throughs on our website, or you can text us. We'll help you through it to get signed up. I think we had like 800 people last year. So let's break 1,000 this year in the College Pick'em. That's going on. But also, football time is back. Tiger Talk is back tonight, 6 o'clock, Tiger Talk. And then Tiger Talk OT with Doug Holton at 7 o'clock. So, yes, it is that time of year. Football's back and talking about it right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, without further ado, it's Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Kyle, are you a college football fan?
I was raised a Bama fan, so that's really all.
God bless you.
Keep up with.
You have great parents.
Yeah, you know, I had some good parents, had a good upbringing, good household, stuff
good.
Like that. So.
But just letting you know, because we invite, there's, you know, a lot of folks in the media here that compete in our college pick'em. So each week you get, Dalton puts it up as like 10 different games you get to pick. We have fabulous prizes, and we trash talk for the whole season. So it's worth just signing up to give you a reason each Thursday to come on with me and trash talk about your picks from the week before or something like that. So just letting you know, it's out there.
Gotcha.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Lot to talk about, but I'm actually going to read a text here quickly, and then we'll go from that. Glenn writes here, because we're talking about this last hour, about the Tony Kennan story. It said, and the audio that y'all put out, which I think was very telling. To give it some perspective, it gave me some depth to the story. So Glenn says, Sean is a 30-year law enforcement officer. Let me be clear. The officers 100% should have seen and spoken to the female party. It's very suspicious that he didn't open the door. Certainly a violation of their policy. If I was those officers' supervisor, they would be disciplined. So I guess that's, I did think that was odd, but I'm not a law enforcement guy. I don't know what the rules are, but Glenn is, and he says, you have to see the female party, or the other party, not female, a female in this case. Did y'all look into that? I mean, the fact that you had the body cam audio that the officer said, okay, well, like, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, but have a good night or whatever, and left without, he did offer to see, either that you could see, you know, you could open the door, you can talk to her, but they didn't want to or something. Is that their policy? Right. Do you know that?
Well, I reached out, you know, after we had first done this story a couple months ago, I had reached out to try to get the policies for domestic violence cases from the Orange Beach Police Department, and I was never given those. But it definitely is odd that they didn't follow up with an alleged victim in this case until 4 days later, which is what we found out in the police report that we received and that we used in the first story that Rob and I did on this in July. So it's it definitely seems, you know, off to me to not want to follow up with, you know, whoever was being allegedly assaulted in a domestic violence case.
And I'm learning, I see these things, and it's good that you're trying to get in and get the answer, because I don't know. I mean, Glenn, you know, texted in, he knows in law enforcement, but I don't know what all the rules are, but it's good people asking those questions. because there's two things. Obviously, people want to get to the bottom of what did or did not happen. At the same time, there's a side story here that we have the expectation, maybe too big of a word. People would like to believe that elected officials, when it comes to the law, will be treated just like any other citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You rolling your eyes at me?
Well, you know, that's you know, I agree with you, and you know, it is, you know, it is important that, you know, that the law should be evenly applied to everybody. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's just a fundamental right there.
Okay, I want to while we're talking mayors here too, pivot to this side of the bay here. So this headline here: Stimson unveils final budget with millions in new spending. Is he going out like saying, "Hey, you get a million, you get a million"? What's happening here?
Well, this is a $416.8 million budget that he released on Wednesday. So the city council will be going through it. It certainly seems like an Oprah Winfrey style approach to, you know, to some road projects, to some infrastructure upgrades like that. There's definitely some increased spending on public safety, with money set aside for new hires at the police department and the fire department. But yeah, it's absolutely a balanced budget here. I mean, the exact amount that they're spending is the exact amount that they project to have coming in. So it's a little tight there from that standpoint, but they also say that they have, you know, tens of millions in a reserve fund that won't be touched too. So, I guess if you can do it, you should do it. So,
yeah, I think whatever the quote was, like, revenues will be static or flat, or something like that.
Flat.
That's the term there coming in. But it has been over. There's money been coming in to the budget as spending has gone up. But after, you know, after getting the fiscal ship righted early in the Simpson administration, revenues have come up, and some of those are just through more economic activity. Some of them are. I don't know how much of our money that comes in the city is in the form of grants, but it's a bunch. I mean, there's been, are those still coming, or did he, like, you know, you say, absolutely, okay, we're spend $50 million, but we're going to get $50 million in grants. I don't know what the numbers are.
I understand that those are still coming. I am still going line by line through this budget. I am a liberal arts guy by trade, and, you know, I wish I had $416 million that I could balance and play with, but that's something I'm still looking into. But as you know, as far as I've been told and I understand now, I do believe that we're still getting, you know, a good bit of grant money that's coming into the city. We've applied for some lately. We applied for a port security grant, you know, to beef things up down at the Port of Mobile with some new personnel and some security measures. So it's definitely pots of money that we're still going for from a city standpoint.
Now, I'm so glad that, you know, this came out from the city, but y'all, when you go to landnetmobile.com, you can click through in Kyle's story and see this exciting budget that he has to look at for his job. But it was, I mean, things stood out to me just like, well, I'm surprised. Y'all, it says here what the last year, I guess, for the 2025 fiscal year budget, revenue, tax revenue on beer. Am I reading this right? I'm obviously typecast. I went to it first. $967,324. So almost $1 million in tax revenue just from beer in the city of Mobile. Must be good.
Yeah.
Smokes more.
Yeah,
smokes
we got some thirsty people.
Yeah. It's just interesting. You have this breakdown on there and people can check it out. And of course this goes through the process of, I mean, that's what the mayor and the executive branch wants. Now, have you heard anything from council members on this? Or we'll probably hear on Tuesday when they start looking at this.
We will be hearing more from it next. Well, should say here, it's going to be on Wednesday because the mayoral
election is on
Tuesday. But Joel Daves gave the budget a shout out in his council comments this week and said that it's something that, you know, he and the rest of the council members will be going through. So I expect to hear, you know, definitely some more talks on how we're going to be spending this money coming after the election.
Also, speaking of Election Day coming up, you've broken down not just, we talk about the mayor's race, but you've broken down what's going on in city council districts. The latest one here, tell me what's the lawsuit. This is in the District 2 race. So you've got the incumbent, yes, William Carroll there. You've got Reggie Hill, that if you've ever watched a city council meeting, you know who he is. And then the Ingram angle, see what I did there? The Ingram angle on this, that y'all have done reporting on this, that while she's from Mobile, but she voted in Georgia, lived there for a while, and is Samantha Ingram, they're not removing her. I heard that story. They're not removing her from the ballot.
Right.
Does that mean is it just because they can't change the ballot, or does that mean they say no harm, no foul? What's the word?
The ballots have already been printed. They are going out. We've had some absentee voting that's already been going on. But from a legal standpoint of being, off the ballot with quotes there, Hill filed a lawsuit to try and direct the city clerk of Mobile, who also is in charge of the election, trying to direct her to take Samantha Ingram's name off of the ballot. That lawsuit was unsuccessful because the city clerk, the attorneys for her claimed that, there's no statutory power for a city clerk to step in and take someone off the ballot because they may be a disqualified candidate for residency or for another reason.
That's important. That's a real important detail, because when somebody just, this is why, you got to read stories, y'all, in depth, because when you just see the headline, you're like, then she's okay to run, but it's not. It's like a court saying somebody doesn't have standing in a case or something. They didn't make a decision on the case. Like, hey, they don't have a right to take her off. That doesn't mean she's good to go.
Right. Well, there were some other issues with the lawsuit that was filed, like on some evidence and stuff like that. But the judge in the case, Circuit Court Judge Jill Phillips, she indicated that, this could be an issue that could come up after the election if, Hill or somebody else wished to do so. So that's, that's, seems to me like that's when something could happen on a question of the residency. It would have to be done after the election, as far as I've been told, and stuff like that. So we'll just have to see on that front.
I'm glad to hear you say it. I know you've written about it, but because y'all, this is why you got to read a little deeper, because you hear, you just hear a headline, you go, oh, okay. Well, they've cleared her. She's fine. But no, it's a semantic issue of who's allowed to remove somebody.
Right.
Here's my segue. And by the way, talking to Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, here's my segue. Speaking of getting removed, he announced it on the show the other day when he was on with me, but you've got the headline about Admiral Davis and him now heading Vets Recover. He was removed from one job. He's in another one now right here in Mobile.
Absolutely. And, from my observation, covering his, his controversial firing and the restructuring of the Vets Affairs Board, it always seemed to me that he had strong support here in Mobile and Baldwin County. His selection to head, Vets Recover, which is a group that John Kilpatrick founded and was the head of for a long time, his selection to be in charge of that kind of seems fitting, just with his support of the organization and with his support of veterans around the state. So he started on Monday. I swung by Vets Recover's HQ on Spring Hill and chatted with him briefly yesterday, and he definitely sounds like the guy who could help get Vets Recover to the next level that they want to be at. He's going to start doing some networking, and he really seems to be bought into the mission of, that peer-to-peer therapy and helping veterans and first responders, from people who have that experience.
Yeah, John Kilpatrick has built a successful system there, and to have somebody like Admiral Davis who gets it coming in, I think is good stuff. Let's talk about this new Lanyap out on the streets now. Cover story.
Absolutely. The rundown on the municipal election, the mayoral race. We got some final pitches from Spiro Chariagatis, from Connie Hudson, from Barbara Drummond. Tried to get something from Paul Prine. I called him a bunch of times, sent him an email, well, multiple emails to him to get some input on the issues like the coal ash at Plant Berry, access to Big Creek Lake, and just couldn't get through to him. But that's what we've got, just a final pitch from the candidates on some of those issues that are big deals here in the city. So they've got some pretty insightful responses that should be very telling of kind of the things that they want to do if they're voted into office.
Yeah, and I've said this, we did that event last week with the candidates. I was talking to not the candidates, but their teams. I'm like, I talk to a lot of people. They're still undecided in this race. I really do. I mean, whether at the grocery store or whatever, the idea that everybody's locked down on somebody, I don't think is true. I think there's still people that have two candidates in mind they're trying to pick between, and I think that's going on. So any kind of more information out there like y'all put out is good. And people can check out all the stuff we talk about online as well. Tell them how to get signed up for LanyapMobile.com.
You can head to LanyapMobile.com. We have an online subscription form there. And if you need some help with that, give us a call at the office. We'll be happy to get you signed up.
All right, Kyle. Be good, man. We'll talk next week.
All righty. Sounds good.
There goes Kyle Hamburg. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127, FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile. Hi, y'all. I'm Sean. The segment of the show brought to you by Stone Arms, my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms, where I got what I'd been trying to do for a long time, got it done pretty darn quickly, and that is to get my green light from the feds to get a... Well, they'll call them silencers because of branding, suppressors, silencers. They call them suppressors, too. They have a kiosk in the store where you can go in and do it all right there. One place, get it sent off and send it to the feds. And for me, it was 2 weeks. All that worrying I did for all this, it's going to be years and years. I never got it done and applied, but everybody said, that would be years. It's 2 weeks. And I want to address something, too. After I talked about Jeff the other day on the show, and he's actually come on and talked about this with me. Somebody had texted in, sorry if I forgot your name from the other day. They asked about, with the big, beautiful bill, did they still have to get the tax stamp from the feds? And you do. So, I could send you links. We talked about it, but we can talk about it right now. What changed in the big, beautiful bill, because they could only do things that were about money in that. They couldn't change policy. So what they did is remove the $200 fee for getting your tax stamp to be able to, get for suppressors and SBRs and all that. They removed the fee, but there's still the requirement to go through getting it. You have to have a tax stamp to have one of those. And we could talk about the silly policy and all that, but that's the law. But the fee goes away the first day of January 2026. But Jeff made a real good point to me, kind of how human beings, me being one, I probably resemble that remark. He said, here's what's going to happen. He said, number one, he's got a bunch of people that are putting suppressors on layaway right now. Okay, so that's good, but people are trying to hold them until January 1st or 2nd, whenever you go back to work. And that's going to cause a reduction in selection going forward, not now, but you start getting towards November, December. And also, he said, the old days of where it took forever to get a response from the feds on your tax stamp, how fast it's gone now, he said, there's going to be a glut of people that wait till January 1st to do it. And then it's going to go back to being slow. So if you think you'd like to have one of those suppressors on your rifle for deer season or shooting your modern sporting arms or whatever, maybe just think about the human part of this, that January 1st, there's going to be a bonanza on it because people save $200. But maybe in the meantime, if you want to make sure you get one quickly, make that move before January 1st. Just something to think about it. Go talk to them at Stone Arms. They're on Airport just west of Snow and online at stonearmsinc.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, y'all say hello. We'll all say hello at the same time to Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor. Hey, Blaine.
Hi, Sean.
Imagine y'all are wide open busy, number one, because we'll talk about the deals y'all got going on. But it is this time of year that you get, in addition to the people in the ag world that need tractors and people that are doing construction that need tractors, all of us is thinking about hitting the deer woods here over the next couple months, getting stuff planted. They need tractors, too. So I'm sure your phone's ringing. And you got this deal. You and I talked about this because you had, I think, a grandfather with one of these. I ran an L2502 for years. I love that little tractor, and y'all got a deal on this right now.
Yeah, we do. Right now, Sean, we're running a special on the 2502s. The cash price on those is $19,999, and that's the perfect little deer camp tractor. Yes, my grandpa, he had one and ran it, still running it. It's almost 20 years old, but that model is a really good model. We sell quite a few of those each year, and just perfect for the deer camp. And that seems like right now, the past couple of weeks, everybody's gearing up for the deer camp, whether they're doing dove fields or getting ready to go bush hog for food plots. We've got all those implements in stock, whether it be bush hogs, tillers, disc, fertilized spreaders, all the implements you can think of really in stock right now, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. So y'all come by, see us. We got plenty of them, and we're still offering the zero interest finance as well on all tractors, construction equipment, the skid steers. We've been getting quite a few loads of enclosed cab skid steers, that new SVL 97-3s. We just unloaded four of them this morning here. And like I said, still offering that zero interest financing on them right now.
And also, as these deals, if somebody can't pick it up, and I'm asking the question I know the answer to, because you brought me, by the way, he can match. Like, it's for the first time in my life, I have a rotary mower and a disc that matches my Kubota tractor. I'm pretty high cotton there. But somebody says, man, I have no way to get this tractor. Y'all do deliver.
We do. We deliver, we pick up. So even if you need something serviced, we do deliveries and pickups for service every day. But yes, if you're purchasing something, we do deliver. Our trucks run, and they run all over. So let us know. We'll come to you. But yeah, if you're working Monday through Friday, you can't get by here during our business hours, give us a call. We'll work something out. We are open on Saturdays from 8 till noon. That is an option, but we can handle most of the paperwork over the phone for sure.
All right. So your real world, what the kids say, IRL location. So then the real world location, and then online.
All right. We're right here in Robertsdale on Highway 59 at Parrish Tractor. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or Saturdays, 8 till noon. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171, or visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Let's get to this text line here. And by the way, too, if you want a cool technology, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. My buddy Hal Hayes is going to join us. You know, I like drones and all that. Wait till you hear what he's doing with them. Cool stuff. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk about it. All right. To the text line here. I appreciate that, Ricky. That's good. We might come back to Ricky's. Tim says, Sean, I wonder why Mayor Stimson is so fascinated with this train that he's willing to sink the ship over this thing, because you know it's not going to be profitable. Here's the thing. So the council, right, approved the $3 million. And that's the one thing I've talked to, you know, you've heard me, Tim, talk to the council members about it. They took the vote. And like Ben Reynolds, who was like late, you know, early on was kind of a no vote and then changed. I do like the idea that it's capped. Now, yes, I'm not naive. Things can come up and change. But right now, as the story goes, the $3 million allocated here to Amtrak and getting Amtrak going at least has an end to it, right? Things that worry me are like on, you know, monthly cost, ongoing cost here. So that part. So this, the mayor is supporting it. So getting at it is the city council votes to fund this. And if you're talking about the fact that he was out there and took the ride, of course you do. If you're if the ship, to stay with your analogy, if the ship's already sailed on this thing, and you're the mayor of a city, I don't have a, you're going to go ride the thing. You're not going to dog it out while you're riding it. I mean, it's, things already happened, so you might as well, you know, be on board with it, to stay with some kind of strange analogy. So I don't think he's sinking his ship over it. I mean, it's really on the city council that did that. I'm one that, I guess I'm in between the worlds of people that are just falling over themselves about the train, and people like like Jeff, who's doesn't like Amtrak. I never had to live with Amtrak, and I've said it before. I'm scared that there's going to be a lot of people like me. In other words, I'm going to go. My son and I talked about it. We're going to take a trip this fall. We're going to go to New Orleans. He thinks we're going to, I'm taking the World War II Museum. He doesn't know that. He's going to be bored, but I'm going to be happy. But we're going to do a trip like that. And maybe once a year I have my little sister and her kids come in or so. I mean, I'll take rides once a year. But the idea that it's going to be full Monday through Friday, I hope so. But I haven't, I know it's full right now, but I'm saying going forward, I don't know. They get to the end of the $3 million, Tim, I don't know what happens. But I don't think it's a bad look for the mayor once this thing is happening. Like, I want it to be successful. I would love for it to pay for, if it just broke even, I think it'd be fantastic to have a train. If it didn't cost the taxpayers any more money and it was self-sufficient, then that's just another feather in the cap. It doesn't mean it's going to be for you or somebody else, but if it pays for itself, yeah, cool. But see, I don't think that's going to be a check against the legacy of Sandy Stimson, right? The let's see here, from Doesn't Have Meta. Has anyone investigated the whereabouts of the Orange Beach mayor during the naked man sightings a while back near Bay Minette? He seems to have a history of this behavior. What was the naked? I don't know that. Bay Minette nudity? North Baldwin nudity? My goodness. Let's see. Michael says, I'm pretty sure after the Orange Beach election, the Lanyap guys are either going to have to watch their P's and Q's in OBA, or if Kennan loses, the new mayor will give them free reign and probably the key to the city for their support. Yeah, Michael, we're just going to disagree on this one. The idea that the folks at Lanyap, like, did a timed release on the story, it's when the story came to them. If they would have gotten the story before, they would have run it. There's a competitive thing in breaking news, right? So if they had gotten this story earlier, then they would have broken it earlier because they would try to break it before anybody else. That's kind of the news business. So the timing of it is when the information came to them. So now you can dislike that they ran it, but that the idea that they like held it and then went with it, it doesn't make sense out there. And is it not news? I mean, there's some things. If you go watch Erica's interview and some of the conversations in there, I think it is. I think it's interesting. And he may be, you think he didn't do it. Somebody else thinks he does it. But you ought to go watch him, watch the mayor. Mayor Kennan respond to those questions as well. And I do have questions, like if it's, were you not at the Coastal Resource Center? Now you are at the Coastal Resource Center. You do. Like, there's some things that I think leave me scratching my head. Go check it out. Buddy. Let's see. Okay, yeah, conversation, buddy. It's a longer text. Well, buddy said, for those of us that have lived there a long time, meaning Orange Beach, there's nothing new as far as he's concerned. Ask Erica to investigate the harassment at the fitness center. There are many other stories that have been swept under the carpet, and I highly doubt that this was with his wife with him at the second office. All this, that's all, I don't know that any of that's true. But I mean, people send me stuff all the time. I'm like, okay, well, but you do need to give me proof on that. This one from unnamed texter says, talking about crazy political situations, what about the councilman in the city of Satsuma that sued his own city while serving on the council? I have to go back and research. I'm ignorant to that story, and shame on me. Be interesting, too, if Paul Prine's elected mayor and has an active lawsuit going on as well. But he talked about it with us, a couple times on the air here and said, not going to let that not going to let that faze him. Let's see. Motorman said, remember the Pritchard police chief that was one of those cops on one of those cop shows doing a ride-along? And when they arrested somebody, he said, not in my town. Get the Donald to say that. Yeah, if you didn't listen last hour, what we're talking about, Motorman and I were talking about, is stories out that in tonight, I think it's tonight, that President Trump will do a ride-along with law enforcement in D.C. Can you imagine being the Secret Service saying, okay, our job is to protect the president. This is our president. Okay. He's going where tonight? And doing what? Can I take comp days here? Right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
151 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. So FM Talk 106.5 is now old enough to drive. The station's 16 years old. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, old enough to vote. 18 years plus for train the crew, getting junk from your house, from work, storage units, anywhere. You got junk, they're doing it in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And the great thing, we've talked about this in the past, I bet you my next guest is going to get this as well, that they make actual appointments, like, because they know you have like a life and a job and family and all that stuff. They make an appointment. So when you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone, their name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and you need their services, they'll find the day that works for you and the time that works for you and set an appointment. So you could be there and they're there and you just point the junk you want gone. They'll quote you on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work right then and get it done. So you got junk, you need it gone, you need Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And yeah, they do make appointments. All right. And when I mentioned my buddy in the studio, you hear our conversations a good bit, but I don't know if this is the first time you've been on the show. We talk all the time, so I'm not sure. Hal Hayes with Ultra Wash in studio. Usually, you know, I'm talking about your business. We talk a little fishing. Okay, yeah. A lot of fishing.
Yeah.
Can I pull back the curtain?
Like, sure, absolutely.
So, yeah, we talk a lot of fishing, but I've had you pressure wash a house and sidewalk and do fantastic work. And you not, the other day you said, hey, by the way, new technology coming into the mix. And you knew I liked the drone thing. We're talking about it. So Hal has gone through school to fly drones, and he obviously knows how to clean buildings and houses and structures. You combine these things doing what?
Yeah, well, cleaning with the drone. It's pretty cool.
When we get into this, so how do you, so this is a question I asked Hal the other day, just talking privately. I'm like, so pressure washer has pressure, obviously,
yeah,
to go. So you got a drone big enough it can compensate for when the hose comes on.
Sure. Yeah, it's 23 pounds, so it's not a little guy.
Right.
Yes, I do pressure wash with it. It also has capability of soft wash, which is only around 300 PSI.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it, once you get it calibrated in, the GPS locked in, and you hit it, it doesn't budge a whole lot.
It's so cool. And I mean, I've seen some pictures of this thing. Y'all, this is something to see. And for, to think about buildings, you were telling me, you know, your business, like, if you're cleaning taller buildings, what it takes to do that.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's a lot of man hours. And putting you in maybe some dangerous situations.
Sure, you know, you think of a lift. Mm-hmm. I mean, those lifts, they go up there. They go up pretty high, but they're heavy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a chance of falling, you know. Mm-hmm. But you also have liabilities. They'll crack concrete if you're driving across it.
Or right? Gouge up a yard. I'm thinking
or
if
just tear a yard up.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely, if you don't know what you're doing, for sure. But so, with the drone, not a worry.
This is really cool, and we'll talk about it more going forward and see what these drones could do. But this thing, you show up, you've got these giant battery packs for it. You put this thing up, and it goes up and does the washing.
Right. Yes, it'll clean. They told me 5,000 square foot an hour, and that's a lot.
Wow.
It's just up there. You're just guiding it, telling it where to go, and it's just spraying and cleaning.
I mean, we think about the places they've used drones in agriculture world. I know some of it, and yeah. Power line maintenance are doing some of it. But until you told me, I'd never thought about, oh, my God, it's perfect for what y'all do.
Sure. It's crazy technology, man. It really is. And I've been eyeing it for a while, but it was a big jump, leap of faith, you know. But I did it, and now I'm ready to go, man.
So he's got a piece of equipment. So think about this. If you got a multi-story building, church,
yeah,
you know, that you're like, well, how are we going to get this stuff cleaned? You come out there with the drone, you set up and you're cleaning that. There's nobody hanging off the building. There's nobody, there's no lift cracking concrete or gouging grass.
Right. That's right. And you hit on the church. I mean, you drive around this town, there's a lot of churches with steeples that are pretty high up there.
Yeah.
You think, how in the world? And most of them are dirty.
Yeah.
If you start paying attention, you'll notice it. And it's like, well, with the drone, I can clean it.
That is too cool. I mean, to think about not having to put platforms or come in off the top
scaffolding,
or something.
All that stuff. People rappel off the side of buildings and do stuff. It's like just so dangerous. And like I said, the liability of it. But I eliminate all that with the drone technology.
This is cool, too, that you can do this. You said 5,000 square feet in an hour?
Yeah, it's a lot.
So, and also, yeah, for the person that's a business or whatever, they go, Hal, I want this clean, but I can't have you camped out here for a week.
That's right.
Now it's sped up this process.
Knock it out in a weekend, a day, whatever. Absolutely.
This is really cool. I can't wait to watch some of the videos of this thing at work. If people want to find out more information on this too, like call you, say, I'm sure you're getting people calling you, say, well, I got this size building or whatever, asking you like, can you do it questions?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You just, you know, my phone number, you know, it's 251-366-5291. Got the website, ultrawashmobile.com. And, you know, of course the Facebook and Google and all that stuff. Tomorrow I'll actually be at my church, Christ United Methodist. I'm cleaning the steeple there, and I'm going
to
have some video out there and checking it out. I'm sure people will be there watching, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be something cool.
You're going to be stopping traffic. I mean, you know that. If I'm riding down the road,
I
see this going on,
yeah,
I'm going to pull and watch it because it's just new technology to me.
My wife and I spoke about before, you know, just like on Airport Boulevard. It's like, man, you know, if you were cleaning that sign right there, you'd probably cause traffic wrecks.
Yes.
You know, people just staring like, what in the world, you know? So
and
hopefully
you've
that
got
won't
this
happen.
Thing. And you've
I've got it.
And yeah, you've
absolutely.
Got the thing.
And I'm ready to go with it, man. I'm itching.
If you got regular size building, you know, or single story stuff like or two story, I mean, Hal could do it from the ground, but having this technology to be able to go multi stories, church steeples.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about signs, like you said. I mean,
yeah. It's mind blowing. I mean, it still to me is just exciting and new, you know, and I've had it for a while, you know, a good month or so, but it's just so new and just it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Okay, so we're gonna be watching your socials and stuff to watch what goes on tomorrow. But once again, if somebody wants to get with you, kind of talk about what their project is, what they want to do, give them the number again.
Yeah, 251-366-5291, and then the website is ultrawashmobile.com.
I mean, onward and upward with my man here.
That's right.
So it's good. So now we just got to figure out how I can go find us some speckled trout.
Yeah.
And then,
let's go.
Okay, we'll do that.
Let's go.
Great stuff, man. Y'all check him out. Hal Haynes with Ultra Wash. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.